The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
The subject of today's episode is a method of torture which may be the most disgusting we've talked about so far on this podcast. Traveling back to the 1600s during one of the bloodiest wars in European history, we'll see the results of what happens when a country decides to not pay their soldiers a living wage. Consisting of a bucket, a funnel, and some of the most revolting substances you can imagine. That is, if it wasn't just a Catholic propaganda campaign the whole time. Yes, it's another Catholics versus Protestant story, but this time, the Germans are the victims? Today we cover Der Schwedentrunk. I'm Kevin Young.
Hi, I'm Troy McClure. You may remember me from such films as Lead Paint, Delicious But Deadly.
And this is torture. Man, going old school with The Simpsons.
Oh, yeah.
Look at the Phil Hartman days. Shit.
I was watching the Boxnell episode a while ago. Fucking good. Look at your man, Carl, in it. Mr. Simpson. That guy, the voice. Oh, haunts my dreams and my nightmares all at one time. It's scary and sexy all in one. I love you, Carl. Is it Carl, actually? Yes. Sorry, what was that his name? Pretty sure it was Carl.
Carl is Lenny's friend.
No, not that guy. Yeah, the guy with the really weird voice. That doesn't matter. Look
it up. It doesn't fucking matter.
Look it up.
Simpsons is one of those shows that's constantly playing at some point during our house during the week. It's on FX, like, I don't know, every fucking day.
Constantly.
For 3 hours at a time or something like that.
Yeah.
So usually when I get up in the afternoon, my wife's sitting there, and it's either... She's either watching Game Show Network or The Simpsons or Bob's Burgers.
Nice. Bob's Burgers is awesome.
Yeah, it's fucking hilarious. It got such a bad rap when it first started. Everybody's like, oh, this thing's not going to last. And it's been on for like, what, 20 years already now?
Yeah.
15 years. It's fucking, I love Bob's Burgers. Love it. Actually, my wife's birthday. By the time this comes out, it will have already been my wife's birthday, but my wife's birthday is on Thursday, and she doesn't know it yet, but I get her an ice cream cake every year from Dairy Queen. It's like her favorite fucking thing. And you can take photos or pictures or whatever and have them do those edible images on top of them. So I always do something different every year.
Yeah.
And this year she's actually getting a Tina Belcher saying, happy birthday. So yeah, we'll get a picture of it and we'll post it. I'll get it up on the Instagram so everybody can see it.
It's awesome. So yeah, this Carl, this guy, It won't work.
It won't work at all. Not even a little. Every single little picture on your phone just showed me. It was just white.
Look, his name is Carl. He has blonde hair. That's what it is.
Oh, fuck.
But that sounds amazing, though. That cake.
Oh, it's great. So I got. Cool. I last year was. I got her. Letterkenny.
I saw the year
before
that.
I got her Jay and Silent Bob. It was usually like a Harry Potter thing. I try to get her, or I got her Coheed and Cambria one year. I don't know. It's been nice. I've been doing the same fucking thing for the past 11 years. Every year I get her one with something on it.
That's pretty cool.
It's getting to the point where I have to rack my brain to come up with something new to get her because I'm kind of covering all the shit that
she likes. Next
year, I
got
already.
One of me going. I'm saying Star Wars is better. Space Wizards.
Oh, dude. You would text me about how you don't like pepperoni pizza.
Yeah, well, it annoys me in most places. Like, you see videos online and everybody's pulling up these pizzas and there's just grease pouring down. Like, oh my God, it looks so amazing. It's like, no, it looks like shit. Like, so if it's done right, then yeah, it's good. Yeah, but anyways.
Yeah, I told her that. It was like, so Dan messaged me just out of the blue. Says, pepperoni pizza is shit. And she goes, he can fuck off.
I knew it would be controversial.
You tell him I said that right now. I was like, well,
it
listen.
Can be good.
I explained to her the rest of it about how you did it, like how it was so fucking greasy and little, some, you know, the flavor can be too intense. And she's like, oh, no, that's just because he's from Ireland. They don't know anything about flavor. It's delicious.
Excuse me. Sorry.
It was great.
I've tried American chocolate.
Tirade. So you tell him that right now. No, it's fine. Oh, shit.
I'm sorry, I have taste buds. But, look, like I said already, if when you get a good one, you can understand why it's the most popular topping ever, right?
Sure.
But I find that an awful lot of places just destroy it. You know what I mean? They just either give you far, far, far too much.
Right.
Or it's just a big ball of grease, you know, and because I'd only eaten one that night. That's why I was like, oh, you know, I've had a pizza, pepperoni and all, blah, blah, blah. You know, so I actually had one and I was like, yeah, this is pretty shit. You know, it was really bad. And I was like, this is just so typical. This is why I never get it anymore. This is why, you know, I'm sick of bad pizza. That's the thing. I was actually only saying it to my wife there yesterday is we got like a takeaway from somewhere a few days back or last week. And I was like, my God, that was really bad. You know, it was really bad. So I was really disappointed. And I was like, you know what? I'm just kind of tired of inferior pizza.
Shitty pizza. Yeah.
That's all it is. You know, I'm getting more picky in my old age.
I suppose.
I want the better things of life, like good quality pizza. You know, life's too short for bad pizza, people. That's one of my words of wisdom right there. Sort your fucking pizza out.
Search your fucking pizza. I can see the merchandise coming now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, damn it.
Yeah, I love pepperoni pizza. You can go to, you know, pizza place here in town, and they just have slices of pepperoni pizza, slices of sausage, slices of just cheese in the little thing, just rotating around, keep them warm. I always just take a napkin, put on top, dab up all that grease, and go to town. Fucking love it.
It's a solid idea that I never think of. I'm too busy shoveling it into my face to think of using a napkin.
Shove a nice, great big pizza and you just put a paper towel on top of it and you watch paper towel just dissolve into nothing.
Yeah.
That's when you know, oh, it's going to be good.
You know, the trick from The Simpsons, rub against the wall.
Rub against the wall. You can see through the wall. Oh, fucking hell. So what's been going on other than shitty pizza?
Other than shitty pizza, people in the house being sick.
Yeah.
There's a story I must tell you when we're not recording.
Fair enough.
But other than that, work. It's all good, man. How about you?
Yeah, about the same. foundation in the house is starting to fall apart. So that's, you know, that's always something.
Sweet. That's a fucking bird. Downstairs.
we have an old washing machine kind of in the corner. I was like, I'll take that apart, see if I get the motor out of it, because our washing machine's still fucked. I don't want to spend the $200 some odd on a brand new motor for this thing. It turned out not to be the actual motor, and it's something else. Because I'm, you know, that's how I am. So I go to grab the old one that we have and plug it in. I moved it back from the corner and I noticed we just got this like section of the foundation that started to like kind of break and fall in. It's like, motherfucker, that's something else for me to worry about for the rest of my life.
Wonderful.
Isn't it? Oh, shit.
Convenient way to place to store bodies soon enough, though.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah.
Their house is digging its own murder pit.
Yeah. It was there when we got here.
Yeah.
Stephanie finally got over her sickness that she had for fucking weeks and weeks. I'm finally not coughing anymore.
It's like a fucking bad dose corner. Oh, hold on. I'm sorry. I just had a cat knock over an extension lead cord thing and frighten herself. But sorry. It just seems to be a bit of a thing going around. Like I said, Allison was sick for weeks as well.
Yeah.
It doesn't help to her immune system. Obviously, I'd say it didn't help, but you know, there's people at work as well that never out for weeks. So yeah. It's pretty bad. You know, I don't know if it's like tail end shit that's probably COVID related or what, because it's fucking hanging on there. Like, you know, it's not like a normal flu or cold or whatever. So glad she's on the mend.
Yeah.
You can tell her I said hi and that Star Wars is better.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I guess that's the banter part. I'm sure we'll come up with other stuff. It's one of those where you have like a million things to talk about, but I don't want to write them in here. It's just like, we'll cover them when I get there. And then we sit down, it's like, the fuck was I going to say?
Yeah.
It is what it is. Anyway. Dan, let's take you back to the mid-17th century. You're a simple peasant in a small southern German village. And let's say you're at home with your family when a group of men burst through your door. They demand all the village's money and valuables. You stand your ground and refuse. Do they grab you?
I'm a peasant. Why would I have all the village's valuables?
You, boy, what day is it? It's Christmas Day. Where's all the fucking money?
So we know you are the treasurer of the city. Give us the money now.
They grab you, tie you to a board, and wedge a funnel in your mouth. Then they go collecting. And after a short while, they come back with a bucket.
Oh, God.
Emanating from said bucket is quite possibly the most noxious smell you've ever encountered. A mix of human and animal urine and feces, liquid manure, sludge from the riverbank, mud, whatever else they could find.
Pepperoni pizza.
Not the shit. Not the... the Domino's?
Oh, God, yeah. Cold coagulated sauce. I feel the same way
every time a Domino's commercial comes on. Like, you know what's new with Domino's is like probably shit pizza still.
Yeah, well, see, that's I don't want to go off on another rant, but the little bit of sauce that's over by the crust is always cold and coagulated at all times. It's like no matter how hot the fucking pizza is, every time that bit of sauce that's over there is just, it's like they went around with a bit from the fridge and went afterwards.
Yeah. I'll get them. I'll show them.
Dickheads.
Anyway. Yeah, fucking hate Domino's. I'm not a big fan of like Pizza Hut either. My wife will get Pizza Hut and I'll get like wings from Buffalo Wild Wings or Wingstop or something because I'm just not a fan of.
Well, when you eventually come over here, because you will at some stage, I'll get you pizza from the place that's out near here and it's fucking good.
Awesome.
So, yeah. Anyway. Well, back to the Germans.
And pretty much whatever else they can find. Before you can really even react, they begin pouring the contents into your mouth, laughing all the while. Now, after the first bucket is emptied, they present you with another. They immediately begin pouring that down your throat. And they keep this up until your belly is distended and you are in some of the most excruciating pain of your life with the most horrific taste in your mouth. This is the torture of Der Schwedentrunk. And yes, I looked it up. It's Der, not Das or D. It's Der Schwedentrunk. I mean, just, I've had protein shakes that taste about that good.
Yeah, that's, yeah, it's like, I, yeah, like fucking kale juice or some shit.
Why is it green? That's the kale. Think about the sentence you just said. There's nothing good with it. It's the kale. But it doesn't stop there, because the men would then place boards on the side of your stomach and press in order to produce even more agonizing pain. Some sources say that they would beat and kick you in the belly or walk on your belly, possibly even causing you to vomit. Of course, if that happened, it would start all over again. Just add it to the bucket.
I just have this image though of these guys in the big mad long leather coats and all that stuff and making them drink, and they go, "Now we are going to tickle you, yeah."
Coochie, coochie, coochie.
Coochie, coochie. We can do this the hard way. Oh, it's really hard way.
I just say they're like, "Oh, now we got to start over again." You just see some guy in a corner just struggling on top of the bucket going,
"Yeah."
I was actually thinking about that when I was writing this, and what popped, go back to the Simpsons, what popped in my head was when Homer and them get the tobacco farm.
Yeah.
She's like, "Well, have you tried fertilizing the farm?" And he's like, "I'm only one man, Marge."
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Now, there are several problems that can occur from this. Rupture of the stomach or stomach lining, tears in the esophagus, damage to your intestines, not to mention the myriad of bacterial diseases from ingesting fecal matter and dirty water. What can be even worse?
That ain't good for you.
No, it's not.
No.
What can be even worse is if they couldn't find any human or animal excrement to place in the bucket, they would simply fill it with boiling water.
Ah, no, Jesus.
If anybody can remember from our past episode of boiling, what exactly happens to the body, I will recap just to refresh everybody's memory. But, I mean, you should probably go check out our boiling episode. Put it up here in the corner. Boop, boiling.
Like and subscribe. Hit that bell icon, kids.
So this adds an entirely new level of danger, because drinking boiling water can cause serious burns to the mouth, throat, and digestive tract. The high temperature of the water can cause immediate tissue damage upon contact, leading to severe pain, swelling, potential long-term complications, internal bleeding as a result of third-degree internal burns would seem almost certain, and this alone could possibly result in death. There's likely to be a higher risk of secondary infection, and quite likely even acute septicemia, and preventing secondary infection would be almost impossible. Be difficult to do today without surgical intervention and modern medicine. But we're talking about the 1600s, so like we always do, give them leeches and do cocaine about it.
Yeah.
So it's pretty much, opium. Do we have any opium?
Opium.
Do we have a hammer to hit him over the head to knock him out? Yeah.
Yeah. That was pretty,
Add to that the back, huh?
That's to say, it's pretty bad back then, you know, it's...
That wasn't great.
Yeah. It was then, we were talking about this before, where everything was based around smells. So hence the doctor masks.
Yeah. Yeah. You stuff a bunch of like rosemary and flowers and shit at the end of those masks and be like, "I'm good. Can't get me now."
Yep. Infection spreads through smell.
But I mean, if they were blocking off their, you know, nose and mouth, then it's probably working, because, you know, you're blocking out the germs from getting in your, you know, had nothing to do with the smell. Why is yours filled with Axe body spray? Dude, yeah. Smells good, man. Get all the chicks.
Good old bottle of Africa.
So add that to the bacteria, which bacteria that's already in your body that could colonize the dead and rotting tissue from the burns. And if they had been able to find any disgusting items to put in the bucket, either before or after that, you would have even worse bacterial infections to worry about.
And so, not any Alkaise immunitas like you get from a good old Yakult or something like that. Right. If you have that over there.
We don't.
No. Oh, God. They're always going on about it. It's one of those little yogurty drinks that's you're meant to drink in the morning that gives you like good bacteria in your stomach.
Oh, yeah, so your biome.
Yeah. So. But there's one that's called Yakult, and they're always kind of Alkaise immunitas. Alkaise immunitas.
No, we don't Alkaise have that. I mean, we might somewhere, not here, not where I am. I've never heard of it. I know you can get the yogurt that helps you poop.
Yeah.
Activia. See how Jamie Lee Curtis? Like, I eat yogurt now that makes me shit.
Nice.
Watch me run from a serial killer.
Yeah.
So, why is this happening to you? Why are these men just bursting into your home to take what they want and torture you? What will happen to them when they were caught? Well, to answer the last question first, nothing. Absolutely nothing, barring an uprising from the locals. In fact, they had been given permission from the ruling government to do pretty much whatever they wanted. To find out why, we need to go back a little bit to one of the deadliest wars the world has ever seen. Dan, you're European, so I'm guessing that you learned at least a little bit about the 30 Years' War.
Yes.
Yeah.
We did.
Yeah.
I'm really bad at history, though, so please do a like, Miss Kevin.
Maybe I can give you a
I have all the facts written down here in a piece of paper, but I don't want to go stealing your thunder.
Okay. So, I appreciate that. Dan's not going to whip out his historical knowledge from 17th century Europe, so I guess I'll do it for you. It completely took place in Europe. America had no place in it, so America doesn't really get taught it. If you weren't in some type of Western Civ or European history class, you didn't learn much about anything.
So I went on for 30 years because America didn't get involved at the very end.
Yeah, if we'd have swooped in right at the end, we'd be like, we're taking over this bitch. It'd have been all done.
America, fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Jameson, what are they doing?
We dropped a bomb. So now it's time for the history portion of the podcast. Just a real quick Cliff Notes version. So if anybody out there wants a podcast on the 30 Years' War, if they want me to go into like a diatribe of the 30 Years' War and I can do all the research and everything and I could put out a whole episode on Patreon or something all about the 30 Years' War. But for now, I'm just going to give you a real, kind of a real bare bones because like most wars,
Britain were complicated.
Assholes. That's true too. But it was complicated. There's a lot of mechanisms going forth with obviously, religion, territories, dynasties, people just wanting to get into the fight, politics. There's a lot of stuff going on. So this is really just, skimming the top of the sludge off the barrel. So let's go back to May 23rd, 1618 in Prague, which was then the capital of Bohemia and part of the Holy Roman Empire. Now, the Holy Roman Empire was experiencing religious and political tension between Catholics and Protestants. Bohemia, in particular, had a significant Protestant population, but was ruled by Catholic Habsburgs, specifically Ferdinand II. Now, the Habsburgs were one of, if not the most important family of rulers in European history. Now, I get it. You had, the Tudors and, what forth. But I'm not sure when did the Tudors, I don't know how long the Tudors actually reigned for in England.
I'm not positive on myself. I know they were standing on our throats at the time. What's that you say? England were doing that for an awful long time? Yes, they were. So I'm just looking at the shit on Wiki so I can try and throw you some shit if possible.
That's fine.
You know? But I can't seem to... It's mainly blue. The 30-year war thing on Wikipedia is mainly blue because there's so many subreddit linky shit things off them. You literally go about 3 or 4 words and then there's a new thing you can click on.
Sure.
So, anyway.
Anyway. Well, starting with Rudolf the First in 1273 and ending with Charles the First, even though he was like the 6th or 7th, in 1918, their empire consisted of Austria, Hungary, Bohemia, Spain, and Germany. Yes, that is someone from the Habsburgs being in charge of something in Europe for almost 700 years. It's a long tenure. Yeah. The family line finally died out with Charles. You would have figured that the incest and inbred would have gotten to them by then, but I guess not.
It's sitting around in fucking 3 arms. Shit, like fucking teeth out like this.
If you ever want to see a great representation of an inbred monarchy, go watch. It was a show. They never made a second season, which pisses me off because I absolutely loved it. It was a show with Tom Hardy called Taboo.
Oh, we just watched that. Yeah.
Did you?
They're making another season.
Are they?
Yeah. They announced they're making it. I think it's coming out next year.
But the king in that is about as spot on as just an inbred, disgusting, an egg-shaped piece of shit that you can see. Just constantly got, like, sores on his mouth and food on. It's like, you just feel gross looking at him.
Yeah, and he has I know he's based on it's meant to be a great king that actually did have that, like, muscular dystrophy thing or whatever fucking it is that's going on as well. But yeah, Taboo was fucking awesome. Great show.
Now, in response to increasing religious persecution and restrictions on Protestant rights, Protestant nobles in Bohemia rebelled against their Catholic rulers. They had a meeting at Prague Castle to discuss their grievances. Now, during this meeting, tensions escalated, and two Catholic officials, Yaroslav Borzita of Martinitz and Wilhelm Slavata, along with their secretary, Philip Fabricius, were accused of violating Protestant rights. The nobles, led by Count Thurn. When I read that...
Count Thurn sounds like a Star Wars character.
Well, I read the whole reason I have the Hobbit background today. When I read Count Thurn, I said, Count Thurn, son of Thorin.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Wielder of the Arrakis Stone, King under the Mountain. That's all I can think of. And I kept repeating it over and over. My wife's like, what are you doing?
I thought you sounded like a badass Sith guy.
Count Thurn. Yeah, like he's going to have 4 arms and be half android or something. Yeah,
General Kenobi. Just so you know, the Tudor period occurred between 1485 and 1603. Basically ended with the... ended with Elizabeth I's end of her life.
So not even close to as long as the Habsburgs.
Ooh. Yep.
Yeah. So why don't we learn about them in school? Oh, why do we learn that the mitochondria?
Do you learn about the Native Americans in school?
We learned how us mighty Europeans came across the sea and push them off into reservations. That's what we learned about Native Americans really in school. The education system is not great. It's led by a propaganda machine that goes back a couple hundred years. Now, anyway, the nobles led by Count Thurn confronted the officials and demanded their resignation. When the officials refused to step down, they were thrown out of a window of Prague Castle.
Nice.
Known as the second defenstration of Prague. Defenstration literally means to throw someone out of a window. Now, the most shocking part though about this is that it's the second one. There was another one before this. Like, how often are people just being thrown out of windows in Prague? Because it's not the second defenstration of Europe or the second defenstration of the Holy Roman Empire. It's specifically the second defenstration of Prague.
Nice.
Like, oh, that again. First, what happened?
Do you have a window there specifically for people to be fucking thrown out of? What's that? That's the old defenstration window.
Defenstration window. Yeah. It's etched into the stone above it. Ye mighty defenstration.
Yeah.
It's got a hand crank window. He's cranking
that as a job, though. Defenstrationist. What's your job? I throw people out of windows.
Now, the first defenstration actually happened a couple hundred years before that, July 30th, 1419. So it wasn't something that just happened all the time. But so I'm sure people were thrown out of windows plenty. It just wasn't a big enough deal to give it a name.
Yeah. So.
Now, miraculously.
Ye old fucked out of window. So it is. So we got to come up with something catcher in that.
Do you want defenstrated? I will defenstrate you right now. Don't you think I won't?
Yeah. See, I did say I put up Trustpilot review.
Yeah.
And it was because of the fact that I kind of nearly wouldn't want to do an ad like this without actually trying the things out. So both you and I have ordered numerous products. I have ordered, I think it's 3 of the bundles.
Yeah.
Got the beard growth bundle with the derma roller and the growth accelerator, which I will report back in on over time, because it takes weeks upon weeks, a couple of months, for it to properly take effect.
Yeah. Right, yeah, it's not one of those things where you put it on and all. It's like a cartoon, you put it on and it just comes out.
Yeah, it's not the Moxinel. That's what it ain't. Like, you know, I wish it was. But I did get the shampoo conditioner bundle. I got 2 bundles of the oils also, where it has the elixir and the day tonic. So I got 2 different scents in that one of the silver tier. I think it was the Viking Storm. And I got Homer's Poem, the gold one.
Yeah, I haven't. That's the one I don't think I've tried yet. Amazing. I might get it next time I order. What's it smell like? You know?
Like sex. I don't know. Like it's really good. Like, no, like, Alison loves it. See, the thing is, whenever I put on deodorant, I'm going through the Viking Storm one first, and she's always like, "Ooh, the smell of that." And then the other day, because I wanted to test it out, what it was like, I threw on the Night Elixir for the Hohenir's Poem, and she was like, "Oh my god, that's way better!" Like, and the price difference between them was only a couple of euros, so I'll be buying the gold tier one next time around again, I think. Because genuinely it is way nicer. But I think they're great though, because like I always used another kind of brand stuff, and it's worked out a good chunk cheaper, and it is way better quality. This stuff is so.
You know, you got to wait for it to be shipped to you, which can sometimes it's a lot quicker now than what it was before when they first started out. When I first got with them about 3 years ago, it took a long time to get the shipment in, and now it's a lot quicker. But for that little bit of time, you have no wash, you have no oil, and you go to the store and you get just the off the shelf stuff, and it's oil is oil. But honestly, there is such a difference between the stuff you're buying at the store for $10 and what you're getting at the Beard Struggle. That's why I keep going back to them.
Not 100%.
I love them. I do. Even though I've tried others, be like, I'll give this a try, see if it's any good. That's something you kind of have to do. If you're, you know, to see how good the quality product is, you need to try something else. And every single time, it's been, well, that's no good. Get more Beard Struggle.
Yeah, that's pretty much where I am now as well. Yeah. And they have a sampler kit for each of their things. They have a
band
sampler kit. And
it comes with their standard scents that are kind of always there. Yeah. And so if you don't know what you would like, which so far I have not found one that has not gone over well with the wife, which is really what matters.
Street.
But if you know, if you don't know what scent you like, you get the sampler kit and you find out. You'll probably find out that you like all of them. And if you want to get that, use our exclusive discount code Torture19 at checkout. It's beardstruggle.com. Do what's right for your beard. Do what's right for your face.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
Now, miraculously, the three individuals survived the fall, which was attributed by Catholics to divine intervention. I'm sure it had nothing to do with their horrible diets that turned their bones into rubber and they just bounced when they hit.
Or the stupid idiots had their defenestration window on the wrong floor. It's like they just pushed them out of the door.
Welcome to Prague Castle. This is our defenestration window on the first floor. We'll take you up, show you our defense.
That's how Dublin says an emergency exit.
We threw out the defenestration window, but they're cleaning the windows right now. They just all landed on that scaffolding that's outside. Now, a war between Ferdinand II and Bohemia and Austrian rebels began, lasting 5 years and ending with Ferdinand on top. This was what would be called the Bohemian phase. So we're going to have
the missionary phase.
We're going to have broken down into phases. There's four of them. That's the Bohemian phase, lasts about 5 years. But then you have the Danish phase. And the Danish king, Christian.
So they stopped for dessert. Danish.
Can we get a crawler? do you have any cheese or blueberry? I love a good cheese or blueberry Danish. So good. Danish king Christian IV intervened on the Protestant side, but was defeated by the Catholic forces led by the Holy Roman Empire. Followed by the Swedish phase, where Sweden, under King Gustav Adolphus, intervened on the Protestant side, achieving significant victories, and Adolphus emerging as a prominent military leader, even though he was killed in the Battle of Lützen in 1632.
That's because all of his fortifications arrived flat-packed, and he couldn't build them in time. He didn't have that little spanner thing, and he was like, ah! And then, like, a cannonball hit him.
They didn't send me the Allen wrench. How can I make the war forged without the Allen wrench? What's all this gravy? I mean, these meatballs are delicious, but what's with all this gravy? And that takes us to the French phase, where France entered the war against the Habsburgs, mainly to counterbalance the power of the Holy Roman Empire. This eventually, in 1648, after the deaths of around 8 million people, led to the Treaty of Westphalia, which established the principles of state sovereignty and granted religious freedom to Protestants within the Holy Roman Empire. The Holy Roman Empire pretty much started to fall apart at that point. The treaty marked the end of the 30 Years' War and irrevocably changed the map of Europe. The map of Europe that we know today is not the map of Europe from 500 years ago. It's changed.
It's like you log on to play Age of Empires and you turn it on and you go into Europe. It's like, what the hell is this shit?
Where is this at? This isn't my Europe. And then that's how it'd be if that was like here. If you showed America and it was different. That ain't my America. Damn liberals.
Sorry, it's actually it was Total War I was thinking of, not Age of Empires. Rome Total War. What a game.
Oh, damn it. Now, some of those changes on the map were the territory Sweden gained in northern Germany and the Baltic coast, including Pomerania, Bremen-Verden, Wismar, the island of Rügen, allowing Sweden to exert influence in northern Germany and secure valuable access to trade routes and maritime resources on the Baltic Sea. For a lot of these countries at that time, they didn't really even want to get into the war because they gave a shit about Protestant rights or Catholic, having their thumb on the man. They looked at it as an opportunity to gain more land. Denmark pretty much got its European power taken away from them during all this time. Sweden gained land. By the end of it, France came out as the mega power in Europe for a while. Dan gives me a look like, what? So yeah, France. At one point, France was the most powerful country in Europe.
Ah, doesn't surprise me. Yeah. The Danes were too busy after building their Lego walls and hiding behind them.
So there's a lot of shit going on here. It's a big, all-encompassing thing. The 30-Year Wars even tailed onto the back of the 80-Year Wars that was taking on place before that. So
Did they take a break and just resume? Like, we lost count. Better start again.
All right, we've been playing for about 80 years now. We're going to take a small break. Yeah. But time you come back after that break, you play like half as long. The next time you're like, no, dude, I think I'm ready to get off of here, man. I'll see you later. We'll try again next month if we get everybody scheduled in. It's just one giant D&D campaign.
Yeah.
It's like... Now, in order to keep hold of all these areas, both during and after the war, Sweden would have to keep armies there. But that would deplete their military resources, both physically and financially. So Sweden started employing everyday citizens as mercenaries.
Do you know where they kept their armies, dude?
They kept their armies in their sleeves.
Up their sleeves, yeah.
Now, you may be thinking, that's one of my favorite dad jokes. It really is. And most people don't get it until I think about it for a second. Oh, armies, sleeves, I get it. Now, you may be thinking, you still have to pay them. And that's where things get messy. Because even though Sweden did technically pay them, they didn't pay them well. So they told the mercenaries that to supplement their shitty pay, they could raid villages and keep the spoils. And they did, all over Germany. And the thing is, with many villages of the time, the valuables were hidden away. So in order to find where all the cash was, the mercenaries came up with an innovative, albeit vile, method of extracting the information. The torture was so horrific that it was memorialized in many paintings and works of German literature after the war. It was later referred to as Schwedentrunk, which literally translates into Swedish drink.
I thought you said a sweetest drink. The last day.
Schwedentrunk.
I literally have the sweetest drink written down on my piece of paper.
Like, ooh, we're doing a whole episode on Kool-Aid? Yeah. I cannot wait.
Mountain Dew time.
Everybody's going to get caffeinated. Now, it's not really known when this would stop. The Swedes occupied the Baltic region of Germany for decades after the war, but eventually their presence waned. Ironically, Sweden would be the first of the European countries to outlaw any form of torture for any reason in 1734, less than 100 years after the end of the war.
They still torture us, I'm sorry. With their little flatbacky furniture and their little tiny screwdrivers and stuff. They just invented a new form of torture where we torture ourselves. We choose to do it, and we pay for the pleasure of doing it.
You go to their store, you walk around aimlessly for hours because they hide the exit, and then by the time you get home, you're so tired that you just leave the torture on the ground. You say, I'll get to it tomorrow. And when you finally do get to it, you're like, why am I doing this?
I have wardrobes here that I built that I haven't even put the door handles on yet, and I built them 2 years ago. It annoyed me that much. Yeah. It pissed me off that much.
I have shelves in my room that I still, it's like, oh, I'm going to put these up so I have a place to display my shit because my wife has her stuff everywhere. And they're still just
still in the plastic
sitting, sitting in my room.
It's probably the same shelves.
Possibly. Well, probably not. I got mine at Walmart. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I got mine at Swedmart.
We've spoken on many times on this episode, as we will many more. There is a chance that the Svedentrunk never really existed. According to a handful of German and, yes, Swedish sources, it is very likely that that the imperial propaganda was partly to blame for the slander of the Swedes at that time. The Swedes mixed a bitter health potion for their soldiers and others on the side, on their side, to drink. And this may have been where the root of the Swedish drink myth came into fruition, and what may have contributed to attracting ridicule from the Catholic side. Especially in deep Catholic areas. And it was not uncommon for what was seen as the atrocities of the Protestant armies, including the Swedes, to be rumor milled across the land, so much so that it's still spoken of to this day. It's one of those, did you see what they were doing, making you drink that stuff? Like, but weren't you, like, doing all this other shit? Forget about that. Look at what the Swedes are doing.
I'm going to have to ask all my Swedish brother-in-laws now, because both of my brother-in-laws are Swedish, to ask them, hey, do you know about the Swedish drink?
They'd be like, that's propaganda.
Yeah.
Propaganda created by the Catholics. It's not true.
Hurdy-gurdy, hurdy-gurdy.
Hurdy-gurdy. Hurdy-hurdy. Eat this shit. Hurdy-hurdy-hurdy. Now...
From Bert.
So after hours, of internet research in between rerun episodes of Seinfeld, I've come to the conclusion that yes, it probably did exist to some extent, because there are records in towns throughout southern Germany that reference this method. Hans Jacob Christoffel von Grimmelhausen described, which is the most German name to ever exist.
That's
congratulations,
amazing.
Yeah. You win. Just go back in time, give him an award.
Stinkel von Dukeldink.
You're the most German. The most German that ever's German. You are it.
If you had like Count or something like that before his name. As well, or something. Yeah,
something. He always
needs a title.
Something. Now, he described the method in his contemporary novel, Der Adventurik Simplicimus. Quote, they laid the servant. Now, when I do these, this is translated into English from Old Germanic, so it's not going to be the best. Some of it's going to be like, what? What? That doesn't make any sense.
So it's chilling out with a cold Coors Light. This guy came up and said, fuck you doing, motherfucker. Hit him with my Rubik's Cube.
They came up and put like this plastic funnel in his mouth and they're like, shit in his face! They laid the servant. They laid the sick. picked him up. He's doing a kickstand. Why does it taste so bad? Show us where the valuables are, dude.
Why does this taste like shit?
Now, they laid the servant, tied on the ground, stuck a plywood in his mouth, and poured a milk bucket full of nasty dung pool water into his body, which they called a Swedish trunk.
Nice.
Yeah. And Peter Thiel, town clerk of Belitz, which is a German, an eastern German city, also gave a description, quote, "Since the robbers and murderers took a halt, the poor people stuck such things in their throats, stir them, poured water, poured them in, yes, probably people feces, and the people miserably tortured for money, like the one citizen in Belize called David Ortel, drive again, and soon died of it." Again, most of those words don't really go together in any specific way like they're supposed to, but you get the gist.
Me fail English, that's impossible.
Now, I looked fucking everywhere for the story of this David Ortel. Every fucking place I could think of. Like, I Googled it a couple times.
It's right there. See there at the window behind you? I can see it. I can read the spine of that book.
Dan has all the information.
It says mine Hoden.
The story of David Ortel. Anybody who's listened to this podcast long enough or knows me personally knows that the fact that this guy is mentioned, but I couldn't find out what the fuck happened to him,
irritates the shit out of you.
Makes me angry to a point where I can barely contain myself. I literally wanted to punch somebody hard. I wanted to go out and buy the Sims game so I could come home and torture someone without feeling bad about it, like Dan did with putting them all in a basement and making them paint over and over again.
I don't see anything wrong with that.
It drives me crazy because I so badly want to know what happened to this motherfucker.
And I'm assuming he's dead.
He's dead.
I'm going to assume that much.
At some point he died, probably of this, but maybe old age. I don't know. But it's painful.
How much did he release an audiobook there last year all about his life? So you know, I'm sure you can get that.
Yeah, he wrote it himself and he narrated it, which is pretty good since I didn't have the equipment back then. But anyway, I just want you all to know how frustrated I am that I don't have more information, especially about this motherfucker specifically. So if you're out there and you see the name David Ortel anywhere and you want to look it up and read about it and send it to me, I will be eternally grateful because I couldn't find it.
The very first Google search. Here we go. Boom.
Found him.
Yeah.
Apparently. Yeah, every time I put in David Ortel or looked up anything, the books that you're able to pull this shit up on or the websites, it was all just pointing back to this quote. So,
give me 1 second. I'm going to close the door because she's hoovering the fucking stairs.
Go ahead.
All you hear is bang, 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 bang. And as soon as I stood up, it stopped.
I want to see what they're talking about. I'm going to go vacuum the stairs real quick. Now, anyway. Now, although the specifics differed, in every case, a restrained and gagged victim was forced to swallow a large amount of unappetizing, sometimes boiling liquid. And no, Sweden apparently wasn't the only country or army to use the Swedish drink of some sort. But everything that I saw was pretty much just an extreme version of waterboarding called the water cure. They didn't use shit and piss. I mean, they might have used some type of other liquid other than water, but it's pretty much just water that they made you drink in mass quantities. And that's the subject of a different episode. So, short and sweet.
Drinking.
Short and kind of gross. Dare I ask, do you have any pop culture?
No, because I Googled the wrong thing. Hold on a second.
I got to look it up and make sure.
What are Googling songs about drinking piss or shit? No, everything's just come back about getting drunk and partying. So,
I know there's like a book of poetry or something like that called Schwieden Trunk or something like that. There's a few things, but nothing like in major pop culture that we would contribute to, you know, today.
Yeah.
Luckily.
Yeah, well, you do that and it just comes up with Swedish drinking songs and songs for alcoholics.
Songs for alcoholics.
Yeah. And a link for album. Songs that are pissing me off today. Taylor, Tay-Tay, let me ask you. Oh, I have a question for you, Tay-Tay, because I know you listen, right? We already know that she's a fan, right? So, why don't you do a song about Swedish drink? You think all those songs about Harry Styles, but...
No. But having to drink that shit. I'm sure at some point, one of your many boyfriends in the past, and I'm not judging on your boyfriends, you know, you do you, but I'm sure at some point you came across one that wanted to drop a deuce on your chest.
For a golden shower.
About that. I mean, it's almost impossible for her to have not had at least one boyfriend that had some type of pee-pee poo-poo fetish.
I'd say your man. Kelch, whatever the fuck his name is.
Kelsey? No, he's not into shit. I don't think he's into shit. Harry Styles, I could see that. He seems like the type of guy that might like, pee on my face type of guy. Who knows?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, as much as it sucks, that's kind of all we got. I literally gave you everything I was able to find. So take it for what you will. Thank you to our patrons, Willow Quinn Fowler, Nevin, and yet another that signed up for our free cult leader tier, TinoSD14. So thank you all so much. I appreciate it. Yes. If you would like a free 7-day trial of our cult leader tier, just go to patreon.com/torturepod. It helps us, you know, and if you really like it, you can sign up, stick around. And if not, thanks for giving it a try. Yeah, appreciate it.
Yeah. You can get my rat song on there.
The rat song is on there.
Yeah.
The song for Joey. You gotta go look for it a little bit. You gotta scroll down quite a bit. I'm trying to remember if I ever posted the episode of Outlawing where it's just you. I know I have it, but I can't remember if I've posted it on Patreon or not.
Someone has just started reading off Wikipedia because your connection went or some shit. Someone of us.
No, I forgot to press record.
Oh, yeah. It's just my side. Okay.
Yeah, it's just your side. No, that was the rats episode where you just started singing about rats and showing all the movies with rats in them. Half of them didn't have rats. They were something else.
That's that stupid IMDb word association shit. You know, like.
You wanted rats. You must mean mafia movies.
Yeah. Books and babes from outer space. It's like, no!
One of them was Alvin and the Chipmunks. You're like, that's not rats. Those are chipmunks.
Yeah. Stuart Little.
Yeah. And I believe you took people on a little tour of Ireland.
It did.
Virtually.
Yeah, I went to Kinsale.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah, like Kinsale.
That's up on our Patreon. Yeah. You could see our faces in our videos. Get extended episodes. So all the little banter we talked about before and after.
If you start from the start and go to now, you can watch me slowly get fatter. So
You can see his internet connection slowly get better as time goes on. Yeah, it's one of those, I took a picture of myself every day for 3 years. See what it goes.
Except I'm going out this way.
Why is he taking up more of the screen? What's going on? I used to work with a guy who, I'm not going to name names or anything like that, but he was told to lose weight and he was told to cut down on his acid because it was hurting his teeth. He's like, okay. So he thought if he cut out all the acid in his life, that's all he had to do. So, well, I should lose weight. So he'd bring in a Tupperware bowl, probably like half gallon Tupperware bowl, maybe even bigger, filled to the brim with salad, just lettuce pretty much, and some tomatoes, which you're not supposed to have acid. You don't need the tomato. Probably three handfuls of shredded cheddar cheese on top. And he would empty almost an entire half bottle of one of those big American-sized Hidden Valley Ranches. Just cake the thing. And then he put the lid on and shake it real good. Every square centimeter of that salad inside, just the whole thing, every leaf of lettuce, every piece of cheese, covered in ranch. And I'd just be sitting there eating, looking at me, you know, that's like the opposite of what you're supposed to be doing, right? Well, I can't eat it if it doesn't taste good.
You imagine him sitting there taking the lettuce out and just going, and just licking the ranch off, just putting away the lettuce.
This isn't us making fun of overweight people, because Dan and I both need to lose some weight. This is just, yeah. He was not a smart guy, though. You get a thermos, and you're supposed to prime it before you fill it up with something, you know, hot, coffee or whatever. You prime it first. He's like, every time I put coffee in my thermos, it's always cold, like an hour later. Like, well, are you priming it? Like, what's that? I told him, I was like, you got to put super hot liquid in the thermos, close it up, and let it sit for like 20 minutes. You dump it out, and then you put whatever hot liquid you want in there, and it'll keep it hot for the rest of the day. Oh, okay.
Because it absorbs that heat.
Yeah. He's at work the next day and complaining again about how his coffee's cold. He goes, I did what you said, man. I primed it all night long. And it's like, no, that's not how it works. He literally poured super hot water into the thermos and then left it sit for the night.
I primed all night long.
It's like, God, and I had to explain, I had to do like a crash course in like
thermodynamics.
Thermodynamics. Like, see, what happens is that you're warming the inside. So, because when you pour that hot water out, it's going to be cold. It's going to be cooler because it's going to lose all the heat.
Get a cup, put hot water in, put a fork in that. Now, you touch the end of that fork after 20 minutes. What is it? Hot. After 20 hours, what is it? Not hot.
Not
hot. Why?
God damn it.
Anyway. God damn it. Hello, beautiful life.
Hello, Allison.
Okay, cool. Okay, love you too. At least I think that's what you said. Bye.
I'm just going to vacuum out here in the hall. Banging up against the door. Now, if you'd like to help us out like these, like our lovely patrons, you can go to our socials. Either, you know, Instagram, Twitter, at TorturePod, and go to our link tree and donate there. You can go to buymeacoffee.com and buy us a pizza, not pepperoni, apparently.
Depends where it comes from. Depends where it comes from.
Dan apparently likes sausage and onion, which I...
Yeah, it's a sweet-ass combo if you get good quality sausage. You know, I'm not talking good like quality. Crap sausage, as usual. Look, it's about getting the good...
When I was a kid, my go-to was always pepperoni, mushroom, and sausage. And we called it the PMS. Mom would ask, was like, you guys want pizza tonight? Be like, yeah, what kind? PMS? She's like, all right. And she kind of had this look of depression in her eyes every time me and my brother would say PMS, but she would order it anyway. And then we started calling it that because when my mom would go get the boxes and bring them home, they would take Sharpie and write what the pizza was on the outside of the box. They'd have like, you know, Supreme or Taco.
Yeah.
And they would write on ours, PMS. So we're like, oh, that's awesome. And we started saying that from now on. And just the look of disappointment in her eyes every time we'd say it.
We used to order pizza to a friend of mine's house. And we used to, like, we'd order online and we'd always put a different name on it every time just to see what would, if they'd actually print it and take it seriously. So they put like Jesus Christ one day and, there was quite a few of them were sitting there one day, and next thing then our pizza hadn't arrived, and we're like, what the fuck's going on? Like, you know, I'm gonna call them. So I called them. I was like, hey man, ordered pizza like an hour ago, what's up, you know, where's my pizza? He goes, is this Duke Nukem? I was like, yeah it is. He goes, we told him it was bullshit. I was like, no man, I said, if you look back at my phone number, I said, you're going to see all sorts of names of that. And he's like, okay, cool.
Fucking hell. Duke Nukem. Yeah. God damn it. Was this like the late 90s or?
No. No, it was actually around the time the latest Duke Nukem 3D game thing came out, you know, because I think we were in his house playing it or some shit. But we'd always try a different weird name. It's the only one that ever stopped it from being delivered. Like, you know, they're okay delivering under some serious stupid names, but Duke Nukem was a no-go.
That is the Bart Simpson Mo Sizzlak type of story.
Yeah, I'm going to have to do it again sometime for all
time. Amanda Hug and Kiss? Oh, is this Amanda Hug and Kiss?
Looking for a huge ass.
Duke Nukem, That took me by surprise. That is this Duke Nukem. Motherfuck. Anyway, buymecoffee.com/torturepod. Do what we would honestly love for you to do the most is go to redbubble.com/people/torturepod and buy some of our merch. Dan and I both have the hats on. I have my Gilderay on hat day shirt on.
I'd love it if I could get a torture thingy shirt.
Just the emblem on the chest.
One of these. Awesome.
You can't see it. You're not watching.
Anyway. I like my flannel.
Well, yeah, but you. I mean, the decade you grew up in, it. Yeah,
it's true.
Anyway, go rate and review us on Apple or Good Pods. I think Pod Guru you might be able to. Subscribe to us wherever you listen.
Tell us why you don't like us.
Yeah. If you're going to give us a 1-star review, don't be an asshole. At least tell us why.
Yeah, Willow.
And if it's because you don't like all of our pizza talk, well, that's fine. You could fuck off. But I still would like to know why. I would still like to know why we're getting a 1-star review. Hint for our next episode. It's cruel, but sometimes we just need some peace and quiet.
Sending the kids to the grandparents for the weekend.
Dan, any words of wisdom?
Couple of things there. I thought I'd keep it within the realms of The Simpsons still, seeing as that's been the vibe that we were going for all episodes so far. So, to quote one of my personal heroes, it's 3 sentences you can use to get through life. Number 1, cover for me. Number 2, good idea, boss. And number 3, was like that when I got here. I have more, but might save them. We'll see.
Yeah, that's fine. They only need one. What an episode. Too much wisdom. All at once.
Yeah, I had too much wisdom once before, and I ended up with a urinary tract. So.
I had to take a penicillin. So. Yeah.
get stung when I peed.
Why is it burned so bad? Oh, yeah, that's right. The wisdom.
Yeah.
Forgot.
All the wisdom.
All the wisdom. All right, guys. That's all we got. So, thanks for listening. Take care of yourselves. Take care of one another. We'll see you.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Goodbye.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.